And now, let's get back to Barely Legal with Robin Earl and David Spada. Whoa.
Okay, it's 17 past the hour, David and Jerry. We're having a good time here talking some Notre Dame sports. And anyway, I think we might have another guest coming up here. Or is he on the line yet?
We got him
there
on the line.
Oh, yes.
Nick Seta, former kicker from Notre Dame, kicking right now in the CFL for the Hamilton Tiger Cats. How you doing, Nick?
Good, guys. How you doing?
Good. We got Jerry Lorenzi here. We got Paul Berrettini, myself, David Spade, and former Bear Robin Earl.
What's up, Nick?
Very good, guys. How you guys doing?
Good. I'm doing good, Nick. I think it's the first time we've had a foursome on this program.
Yeah.
Wow.
Notre Dame needs the extra push here.
Hey, Nick, not to bash kickers or nothing, you know, because I was a fullback tight end, but you know, it's not true you guys wear pink skirts. I don't know.
Maybe that's only the Bears guys, but I don't know. I'm in the CFL, so we're the manly kickers. We go hiking in the mountains and stuff.
The Hamilton Ticats, I believe, right?
Yes, sir. Yep.
Nick, are you Italian?
Yes, I am.
Look at this, another Italian.
Oh, my goodness. Go.
St. Joseph Day is coming up pretty soon.
They're teaming up on this old Irish-German-Swede dude over here.
Well, you know, St. Patrick was an Italian, so we should make sure we know that, too.
Exactly. We own everything. Pasta. We took that from the Chinese.
And I learned something every day. You know, let me throw one quick St. Pat's story in here. All right, real quick here, and we'll talk with Nick. But anyway, it was the 1983. Of course, it was Jim McMahon's coming into his second year. So a bunch of us got together, and we decided to take Mac downtown to really know exactly what, St. Pat's Day is all about on Division and Rush there, right? Oh, we got so hammered. Okay, so the limo driver drops Jim off, his was the first house, and I'm in with a couple of the guys, and we're going, Jim's kind of passed out here. Well, that's okay, because we didn't want to get all, you know, have Nancy, his wife, bitch at us, right? So we just leaned him up against the door. Okay, we leaned him up against the door and rang the doorbell. We take off running. Nancy opens the door, and Jim does a flop on the kitchen floor. And broke his glasses and his nose was all beat up, and he's never forgiven me for that. Anyway, that's my Irish, one of my Irish stories.
Hey, Robin, then Jim is the link between you and Derek, because Derek's Jim's last years he was Derek's quarterback or backup quarterback.
Oh, there, you know what? It's always that 6 degree of separation, isn't it? Somewhere down the road.
I don't think Jim threw a pass back in a Favre up there in Green Bay.
Hey, that's all right. They had a lot of fun.
Yeah, I can't believe Mac actually had 9 jerseys. You know, when he had that restaurant there in Northbrook there?
The one he never went to?
The one he never went to. Yeah. Hey, Nick, so tell me a little bit about you're a kicker at Notre Dame.
Yep.
Okay. What year did you get out of there?
I got out of there 03, 04, 04 season. So,
okay. So you're with Ty Willingham?
I played under Ty Willingham. I played under O'Leary for a couple weeks.
A couple of weeks?
I played under Coach Davey for the first couple of years.
So, Nick, you and I have a tie there.
Your athleticism.
Yeah, you and I have a tie there because, of course, Willingham ended up going to my Huskies at Washington, and yeah. I see 0-12 was a real good start.
He did a fine job up there in Washington.
I guess Notre Dame knew something, but he was a great guy. I just, you know, I guess being a kicker, his coaching stuff seemed fantastic, but I guess the on-the-field stuff didn't work out for him. But he was he did all the right things, said all the right things, you know what I mean? And
not like Charlie Weiss?
No, Charlie Weiss, on the other hand, I'm pretty sure the first day I remember I was talking to some of the guys, and he kind of laid down the ground rules right away, and I don't know if that's helped him out either for the first couple.
Hey, Nick, did you get a shot in the NFL?
Yeah, I played, I was on 5 different teams in the NFL.
Okay.
And then previously this year I had worked out with a few teams, and no one was willing to really match what I was doing in the CFL, so I said, what the heck with this economy? I might as well keep on playing as long as I can.
Hey, not a problem now. Yep. So now, when's your training camp start there? Don't you start in, pretty soon, right?
June 1st will be our first day of training camp, and we only do about a 2.5-week training camp plus a couple preseason games, and then we just get going.
Good idea. I think the NFL should adopt, because after I left the NFL, I played 2 seasons with the Birmingham Stallions in the USFL. They had it all right, man. 2 preseason games, 18 regular.
Yep.
That's the way it should be.
Just enough to get everybody to get your top guys a couple of sessions in there, a couple of rounds on the field, and move on. There's no, you know, less chance of error and injury and everything else.
Because the old purpose of training camp used to be to get ready for the regular season, but now you guys are working out 12 months a year, right?
Yep. I remember when I was with I was with the Bears at a point, and we had the preseason, the mini camps, the mini camps. They wanted to make sure it's a big investment, so I guess they want to make sure you're not you're taking 6 months off and going to Bermuda.
Yeah, they got a lot of, what do they call it, the OTAs or whatever the heck they call them.
Yeah.
Back when I played, we had to check in, you know. Ditka kept kind of a mental note, you know. So every time you reported in, you put your little star by your name and so forth, because, you know, hell, I mean, we were making peanuts compared to the players today, but it was all up to us to go in and work out.
Yeah.
Talking about Ditka, everybody talks about these NFL coaches being at the facilities 20 hours a day. I used to go to training camp. My sister went to Woodlands, pick her up at school. I would get there on a Friday at 11:30, practice would be ending. Ditka was one of the first people out of there. That guy never worked 20-hour days.
And he was parked in a front spot, and he drove a convertible Bentley.
He was in the front spot. Richard Dent looked like Grady walking out. He couldn't move, getting his Rolls Royce. He was out of there real quick. He go, kid, don't touch that. Don't touch that car, baby. And Perry, I don't think, took a shower. He left. He was gone before Ditka. He had a thing of chicken on a plate eating in his car.
And the ones that do stay all the whole time are half in the bag by the time they leave because they've been drinking the whole time watching film.
Where did you fit in, Robin?
Oh, my goodness gracious. Well, we had this little saloon down the street in Highwood called Scornavacos. And I don't know if it's still there or not, but hell, that's another Italian restaurant. But yeah, that's where we used to hang, and Nick, so you're how many seasons now with Hamilton?
This will be coming my third season here.
Oh wow, okay, so you're established, and give us a little. How'd you guys do last year?
The team has been very poor. We've had a 5-game winning season. We've got 19 games in a season there, and it's we've had new general managers, new coaches, new this, new that. They've been going through a rough time. It was a very tradition team, but as of the last probably 4 or 5 years, we finally got a new general manager, and you know, the whole building process has been going through.
Who's your quarterback up there?
We had Casey Printers last year, who was with the Chiefs for a little bit.
Okay.
And we had Richie Williams, who was the Appalachian State quarterback when they won the national title over there for their division. And now we've got Adam Trefalis is up there, and Quentin Porter from Boston College is our new guy.
Gotcha. Hey, what kind of crowds do you get?
Usually get about 30,000 to 40,000.
Oh, that's pretty
right
decent.
Yeah,
that's pretty decent.
You know, it's one of those leagues that you don't know anything about while you're here, but it's a fun league. It's kind of like arena football on a larger field, 110 yards wide or long, excuse me, plus 20 yard end zones and 65 yards wide. So they've got forward motion and 12 men on the field, 3 downs. It's a little bit of difference.
Yeah, a little difference, and of course, I believe most of the Canadian football players have regular jobs, right?
Not some of them do, but not anymore. There was a time where they were making. It wasn't, you know. There was a time where they had made more than the NFL. I think it was the early '60s, '70s. Like,
'70s.
I don't know if you know Angela Mosca and different guys like that. They were going there to play.
It's when Zonka and Kick went up there for a little bit, wasn't it?
Now you know your base out there is you're in the 50s, but guys are making up to millions of dollars, so the cap's a little different there as well.
Robin, put your shoes back on.
Man, I tell you what, I'll be 54 on next Wednesday, baby. I think I can still strap it up. At least I put my jock strap on.
You know, podcast uniform ready for it.
Yeah, Robin's kid's the quarterback at Illinois State.
Oh, okay.
Really?
He's going to be a junior this upcoming season.
Wasn't there an ISU quarterback in the league up there in Canada? I'm trying to remember if he was with... Glenn.
Yeah. He just got released from the Bombers. He was one of the players of the year a couple years ago,
that's right.
And now our team's actually looking to pick him up. But, yep, he's up there. I tell you what, it's a great league. It's a league that the guys, like I went to NFL Europe for a couple years. And I'm disappointed I didn't go to this. I didn't know about the CFL earlier. That was one thing that I wish my agent and things would have kind of pushed a little more, because it's a true league. You know what I mean? It's a league that's established. It's been playing. You're going to play football. You're going to get seen. And that's half the part of trying to, you know, make the NFL.
Nick, when you tried out with the Bears, we're in mini camp with them. Were you competing against Robbie Gould for the kicking position?
Know what happened? I'll tell you that damn story of what happened. And the Bears are my favorite team, so I'm still brutal and pissed about it.
Where'd you grow up?
I grew up in Homer Glen, Lockport area.
Oh, Homer Glen. Okay, there you go.
I go there.
Okay,
you still live there, right, Nick?
Yeah, I'm still there in the off seasons. Yep. I had signed and did the workout and went to Europe and all that. They released Edinger after I had signed.
Okay.
Then Doug Bryan got released from the Jets after whatever was going on there. I think that was right after the playoffs when he had missed a couple big kicks. Well, then it became his job. The Bears signed him, and they're like, you know, we'd love to keep you. You can stay, but it's, you know, he was going to get all the preseason reps.
Mm-hmm.
Then Brown signed me from them, and then I was gone. And then Doug Bryan, you know, didn't do well, and Robbie Gould came in and was the all-star of the world over there.
Like, now he's making $1 million a year kicking for the Bears.
Highest kicker, paid kicker in the NFL.
And he deserves every bit of it.
He does, right?
I
great guy.
And I'm
great
not
guy.
A hater, so I watch these guys, and from the moment he came, it's like, hey, the Bears has always been my team, so I was happy to see it.
Yeah, Robbie Gould is just a class act, yeah. My niece is absolutely infatuated with Robbie Gould. I mean, for her birthday, I got Robbie to autograph a tee. Okay, mm-hmm. You know, to Jesse, with love, Robbie Gould, you know, and I gave it to her for her birthday. She thought, oh my God, that's fantastic.
Nick, how do you know Paul Berrettini?
Paul taught me at Notre Dame.
Taught you what?
Oh, well, I'm building a website right now for Set of Performance, which is a training company that I run.
For kickers?
For no, all athletics in general. I ran track and did things at Notre Dame as well. I was kind of an...
Hey, Nick, don't... I was going to say...
Yeah, I want to hear the accomplishments. You got to tell these guys.
I got to say that Paul was the best teacher I ever had. I have to put that out there first.
Wow. Nice design.
I don't believe that.
Hey,
Nick.
Tell me about your track, because I was also a track guy. I lettered 4 years at Washington in track.
Okay, well, I was a 7 foot high jumper. I was a
what?
405 miler, and a 149 half miler, and a high 47 quarter miler. Those were my accomplishments.
Can you spell decathlete or what?
Well, that's what they tried to get me to do at Notre Dame, and then. Our strength coach decided, no, you're a kicker. You're going to start doing lineman workouts or something. So I went from being like a good, you know, a nice 180 pounds to 210 pounds and looked like I was on the juice, for Pete's sake.
How tall are you?
I'm 6 foot.
And you went 7 feet.
Yeah, I went 7 feet. And the track was a thing that I had to be able to do it in college. I told them it was one of the things I was deciding which way I was going to go.
Man, you must have been at Homer Glen. You must have been a superstar track guy in high school.
I was fortunate. I had a good bringing up. My folks took care of me going, and my pops trained me well. So I was a lucky Italian at that time, eating a lot of pasta.
You know what? Before I decided, you know, all of a sudden I went on that growth spurt. But when I was in eighth, ninth grade, I used to high jump 6 feet.
Yep.
Okay, but I was 6'5", for God's sakes, and I was kind of a skinny 185, 190. Then when I went to about 240, the discus kind of took over for me. But I was very fortunate. I was a two-time state champion and a national champion in 1973, and I had a throw of 197 feet, 10 inches. Yeah.
Wow.
Still stands today.
Really?
Maybe we'll go out to the old track and have
track and field to me is you know in at the collegiate level and at the NC2As, and I was fortunate enough to always make the finals.
Yep.
And then you know in the last race the 4x100, the mile relay,
mm-hmm.
The most exciting race in college sports.
Yep.
Unbelievable.
Oh,
unbelievable.
That was always the best. Because everybody was up for it, everybody was watching it, and it's one of those sports that it if you could get to it, it's better. But watching it on TV sometimes just doesn't do it justice.
Doesn't do it justice.
Why were you not a wide receiver with that kind of speed?
You know what?
Jumping ability.
I was a scout team quarterback. I did all our scout team stuff at Notre Dame, and I was a receiver. Like even up here now, I do all our scout team stuff and different things like that. But as you like anything else, as you get into the professional level, you kind of start. Refining and injury and everything else, but that was a big part of it. I did receiver, I did all that stuff in high school, but something about kicker, I enjoyed the pressure of it. It seemed a little different.
Hey, fantastic. Hey, love having you on here, Nick. I mean, we got to get together and talk some track particularly, but why don't I know David's got your phone number. I'd like to talk to you, particularly in the off season. I've got some things going very well here in Chicago. I'd love to have you on the team.
That's awesome. I'd love it.
Yeah.
Sounds great. Thank you again, Nick, and thank you, Paul, for coming on with us.
Hey, thanks, guys.
We'll talk to you guys later. See ya.
All right, guys. Hey, that was really, really good. Hey, I believe...
You guys do everything, you football players. Track, football.
You imagine a kicker coming down and throwing dunks on you just in open gym? You'd feel like, what the heck is going on here?
What's going on?
I am out.
Now I know why Ty Willingham lost the Notre Dame job in Washington. You got a guy who's jumping 7 feet, who has all-class speed, and he's putting him at kicker.
Oh,
another rocket scientist.
Oh, Ty.
Notre Dame, bring in John Gruden. He wants to coach there. Give him the job. Tell Bob Davie to take his Dunkin' Donuts and go home. Let's bring in a real coach.
But first of all, now, let's get to the real skilled position here. Now, I've had enough pink skirts and kickers. Let's bring on a real athlete here, and that's a quarterback for our Chicago Slaughter. Hey, Russ, how you doing out there?
I'm doing okay. Now, I don't know about that term athlete. I think a lot more of a skilled guy than an athlete here.
Hey, we got Russ Mignon on the phone here, quarterback for the Rush. And I tell you what, David and I went out to your opener last Friday night against the Milwaukee, what were they called, the Bruisers or the Bone Crushers.
I think we crushed their bones watching that game.
Man.
They forgot their uniforms and their talent.
What was with that anyway? It was like a 45-minute delay.
Supposedly they had bussed their equipment down in a separate bus, and either they stopped and had lunch or blew a tire or ran out of gas or something happened. But they did not have the equipment there on time.
No. Hey, thanks for coming on board with us today. We are the Barely Legal Show, and if anybody's listening out there and would love to chat in and say hi to the starting quarterback for the Chicago Slaughter, that's 888-463-6748. And we got Jerry in the house here too, Russ. I love the way when you scored the first touchdown, you jumped up in the stands and sat next to that gentleman and that young boy there. Did you know those people?
Absolutely not.
And here's what happened, and then they threw another touchdown, and then he did it again. And the referee flagged him 15 yards for unsportsmanlike conduct.
Of course.
I guess there's a rule in the league that you're not allowed to do that. They told me if I go up there again, they're gonna tell me to take my pads off and enjoy the game from the locker room.
No kidding. Wow.
I was looking forward to that. I'd been talking about it all off season that was going to be what I was going to do for the year, and you know, I got to do it twice.
There you go. Hey, 82 points, that's a lot of points. What is the most that you've scored? Of course, you had a great career with the Chicago Rush and had a chance there to see Coach Mike Honesty that was there on the sidelines there. Do you think that league's going to come back maybe?
You know, I really don't know at this point. I definitely say I'm hopeful. But, you know, everything that's going on in our economy and our world right now, I really hope they do. But, you know, there's a lot of bigger issues than arena football at this point in time.
Were you with the Rush when they won the title a couple years ago?
I was not. I actually came in the next year.
Gotcha. Hey, I noticed here that you're local, born in Elk Grove, and, of course, went to Conan High School. Great school.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. I had a great experience here. You know, and if you would have told me I would have ended up back in this area, I probably never would have believed you. But I found my way back and couldn't be happier about it.
Well, you got you went on to Western Illinois, and of course, my son plays at Illinois State. He plays the same position as you, but he's right-handed, and you're left-handed, of course.
Okay, well, but, more normal, that's for sure.
He'll be battling for the starting position. He had a redshirt year, then he sat behind Luke Drone his sophomore year, his redshirt freshman year. Then last year, he had to sit behind the senior that was kind of the incumbent. Of course, he was 4 years older, and what a big difference as a quarterback having that little age there. Would you agree?
Absolutely. You know, there is nothing more important to a quarterback than having a chance to watch.
correct.
And learn the game. Because, you know, you see, you even see in the NFL these days, these guys that get thrown out there, in most situations, they struggle. And it can be career-changing.
Russ, watching you last week, you made some pinpoint passes. Is that the key for arena football, just being a pinpoint passer?
Yeah, you know, it is definitely a game of accuracy. There's no doubt about it. And it's such a small field that you have to be accurate. There is no choice. And we spend so much time worried about ball placement and arm angle and changing those things because there isn't much space to be wrong. That's for sure.
Well, let me tell you something. Between you and the Milwaukee quarterback, that was like night and day. I mean,
You got to remember, though, those guys were getting their head beat in, too, now.
Yeah, that's true.
It was like watching Notre Dame comparing Joe Montana with his teammate Rusty Lish.
You know,
I know who Rusty was, but...
You know, ask Robin about Rusty.
Oh, God.
Actually, the two worst quarterbacks in Bears history were from Notre Dame. Rusty Lish and Rick Meyer.
Rick Meyer. Man alive. We just had the Notre Dame boosters on the air here. But that was one thing that that Preston said as we're watching the game. He says, look, he says, see how Russ, you know, assimilates and visualizes and sees the field. You know, and that's what Kurt Warner, coming from the Arena League, going to the Rams, he was able to make those quick decisions. And of course, they were titled the best show on turf or whatever. And I see you had a little stint with the Rams.
Absolutely, I was actually the guy they signed the day they cut Kurt.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Wow.
They released Kurt. So.
Do you have any tryouts coming out this off season with any NFL teams?
You know, I'd love to get the opportunity. Hasn't happened yet. You know, I've gotten fielded a few phone calls from Canadian teams, but you know, nothing in the NFL at this point.
You know, you've got an outstanding ratio here: 57 touchdowns to only 7 picks. Man, that is awesome. Wow. You know, your passing rating of 122.7. Holy cow!
Yeah, well, part of it's the game. You know, part of it's just being careful with the ball. And to be honest with you, 3 or 4 of those interceptions, I would sit here and say, I can't believe I even did that. We could sit there and watch the play on film, and I'd be like, man, I'm embarrassed that we even had this on film. But, you know, that's the way the game goes every once in a while.
Now, you've got a bye week this week, and then you head off to, I believe, somewhere in Wisconsin, don't you?
And we go up to Madison.
Madison, okay.
Robin,
okay.
You were at the game. You caught a football in the stands. Did
Russ
throw that?
Oh, hey. You know, Russ, I want to save this story for you, okay? This was a classic, okay? You know, you had 2 seconds left in the game, and, of course, you come out of shotgun every time, and, of course, you get the snap, and you winged it up in the stands, right?
Yep.
Remember that?
Those people in the upper deck.
Upper deck. But guess what happened?
I saw they didn't try and catch it.
What happened was... is that the ball clinked off one of the seats, and I was down below the other level, right? And I just stuck out my left hand, and I snagged it, and I gave it to my friend Pete, who I brought to the game.
Oh, really?
See, I'm the guy that caught that ball.
Very
now,
nice.
If I hadn't have caught that, and I couldn't believe I got my left hand out there in time to grab it, okay, and I'm thinking to myself, okay, catch that ball. Keep your eye on it. Keep an eye on the thread, you know. And I snagged it, and the kids there that we had about, what, 8 or 9 kids with us?
Exactly.
They thought I caught a baseball at the Cubs park. That was tremendous. And, of course, Pete Ferrara, who owns the Mortgage Mart down in Lockport, Illinois, you know, took it on down and had Steve McMichael's autograph, and that just made his evening, man. That was the best thing, man. I couldn't believe that ball bounced right to my hands.
That's great. I like to hear it.
Yeah.
You know, it really is an exciting atmosphere. There's no doubt about it. It would have been more fun if they would have let me keep on going in the stands, but, you know, we're working on that one still.
Yeah.
Russ, what's it like to play for Steve McMichael?
It's fun. I let's say he's a great guy, you know.
Give us more than that. We've seen more than that on Channel 5 when it's with Gene Kreker.
Hey, Russ, did you know Mongo, I was his first roommate when he came to the Bears. I had to room with him on the road with him his first year. He was
then I don't have to tell you anything about
him. No. You don't have to say anything, man. He was the most disgusting, nasty, unbelievable roommate I've ever had.
Did he have a snake back then and the dog, or was just
unbelievable.
Man.
Unbelievable.
Character. There is no doubt about it. We have a lot of fun. A lot of fun at practice, that's for sure.
And I think that's exactly what you guys are doing. You're providing a lot of fun for the fans. And, hey, anybody that is listening to this show and want some good entertainment out at the Sears Arena out there in Hoffman Estates, man, I tell you what, the tickets are like $8. My goodness gracious. Where can you go see a great quarterback like Russ Mignick go throw the ball, throw 7 touchdowns, and rack up 82 points, man? Now, the only thing you guys got to work on is get those referees to quit throwing their flags. Goodness gracious.
I thought it was a little laundry with all that flags on the field.
Yeah, well, we got to be a little cleaner, though, now. I mean, that's the first game. Those aren't always pretty. So we should get that stuff taken care of, and the game will flow much smoother next week, that's for sure.
Yeah, Russ, I'm going to come and see you next week. Our 3 daughters, they want to come and see the game. I brought them home, the pom-poms. They want to go out there. Could you throw me a couple footballs?
I'll see what I can do. You got to let me know. I mean, you can't just expect me to figure it out.
Give him your seats.
Yeah, hey, I want to thank your player personnel, Brent, for calling me. And we're going to try to get a couple of you guys, get Donovan on next week. Your fantastic wide receiver wears number 4. Preston feels that he should be playing in the National Football League, which he may.
Absolutely.
Yeah, he'll
help
be.
The guy. There's no doubt about it.
He's tremendous. And, hey, keep up the good work, man. And thanks for coming on board with us this morning.
Thank you again, Russ.
Right. See you, Russ.
Thanks for having me.
All right, we're going to take a short break, and we will be back. This is the Barely Legal Show, and we're having a blast.
The commercial critics claim that you should never start with a question. They might be right, but the heck with those so-called critics. So I'm going to start by asking the listeners 2 very important questions. Question 1, how many millions of people have a home phone and or cell phone in the Chicagoland area? Question 2, how many would like to have unlimited calling from their home phone and cell phones for only $24.95 a month with no credit checks, no deposits, or contracts to sign? Well, if you're like me, the only answer I can come up with is a resounding yes to both questions. Hi, Robin Earl here, and I'd like to introduce you to Liberty International and the massive rollout of WiMAX, which is going to happen very soon to the Chicagoland area. What is WiMAX, you say? Well, all I know is WiMAX is the 4th generation, or 4G as the techies call it, of wireless technology. It is designed to enable high-speed mobile internet access. Experts predict that by the end of 2010, the United States will have over 140 million subscribers to this new WiMAX technology. So what does all this mean and how does it benefit you? Well, by going on the Liberty International phone service for only $24.95 a month, and remember, there's no tax, no deposits, no credit checks or contracts to sign, and when you refer 3 friends or neighbors to our service, your phone service is totally free. You will never have to write a check to your home phone or cell phone provider ever again. If you'd like further information about Liberty International and the incredible opportunity it provides, please give me a call at 224-515-0500 or visit my website at robinearl.net. Again, that's 224-515-0500 or my website at robinearl.net. Get a hold of me. The only thing you got to lose is your phone bill.
The next time you're in the coffee aisle in the grocery store, pick up a can of Stewart's Coffee. You're probably asking yourself, why Stewart's? Because Stewart's roasts only the finest beans and grinds those beans to perfection. By using the finest beans, you'll get a more consistent taste. This is the reason Stewart's has been around since 1912. Consistency and quality. Still family-owned and operated? You'll know Stewart's Coffee because of its plaid can. You'll find cheaper coffee on the store shelves, but not the quality of Stewart's. Remember, you get what you pay for. Coffee's good, but Stewart's Coffee is so good.